If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll get there in just a moment. All of us in this room would no doubt know this to be true. Life is filled with problems. Life is filled with difficulties, struggles, and troubles. I know that even in just this room, there are health issues. I know some of them for a fact. There are people here in this room, your brothers, your sisters, this church family that are constantly dealing with pain. It's virtually always present, rarely a moment for them of pain-free living. It's pain that keeps them up all through the night. It's pain that prohibits them from doing what they otherwise would do. It's a pain that can't be figured out or in any way permanently relieved. Sure, there might be a good day, and that's good, but that could very well be followed by 10 bad days. Even when the pain is gone, it's never really gone. There are people here that have received a bad diagnosis from the doctor. There are people here who, simply to say it this way, their body, joints and organs, white and red blood cells both, something's wrong. Something's amiss. Something is not doing like it's supposed to do. And they feel the pain of that. Have the long list of prescribed medications to deal with that. Live with a constant concern for that. I know that in this room, not out there, not in the world, sort of just the way life is, just the stuff that we have to deal with. Not that we know someone. Everyone knows someone dealing with something. I'm talking about right here. In this room today, your brothers and your sisters that are a part of this church family, there are people dealing with family issues. Maybe there's strife. Maybe somebody has done something. Somebody has said something. There's animosity. Maybe even a completely broken relationship. There's trouble. Maybe because of decisions they're making, because of circumstances they're living in and under, there's a very real and deeply felt concern for their safety, for sure their well-being. I would imagine there are financial concerns. Maybe you're in the middle of it, bills unpaid and unpayable, bills mounting up, just no money to take care of it all. Debt ever increasing, more and more a hopelessness felt and ever getting out of it. A constant concern, how long before it brings a financial collapse? Maybe even just the weightiness that you feel, an anxiousness, an unsettling inside. Something's needing to be done, but doing it is going to involve a significant cost. You know you have to do it, but the cost of it, how are you going to deal with that? What are you going to do about that? There's just a sense of dread that you feel this morning. It weighs on you, concerns and troubles you. No doubt there are many experiencing maybe what we would just call an internal kind of struggle. Maybe there's a fear inside, a fear that consumes you. Maybe your life plagued by worry and anxiousness wakes you up every morning, puts you to bed every night. The worry, the concern for that, whatever that is for you. Maybe there's a depression you're battling. Maybe there's a bitterness, an anger that rages within you. And you know it. It's destroying you from within. Because we're a people of God, we live under the constant attack of the enemy. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the trouble for you. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe the devil has brought doubt and discouragement. Maybe there's a bondage that you live in. Maybe you're sensing an apathy in your walk with Jesus, a lukewarmness that concerns you. That's the problem today. It doesn't belong, but you're not quite sure what to do to get rid of it. There's just no doubt about it and no real way to sugarcoat it. Life is filled with problems, with difficulties, struggle and trouble. I was thinking of it, even to describe it this way. I'm not sure if it's exactly the right word, but my thought, there's just a felt pressure experienced throughout the day, even every day. Maybe it's our list of things to do. It's the pressure of getting it all done, getting it all done right. Maybe it's the pressure of a world gone crazy. It's just a constant unsettling inside us. Every time we think of it, every time we're forced to deal with it by the next headline, by the next news report, there's an anticipation that we live in. We could go home today, we could turn on the TV at any moment and find that the world has descended into absolute chaos, collapse, and conflict. Maybe it's the pressure of work. We enjoy what we do, but we don't know what the day's going to hold. What if we mess something up? What if the boss is in a bad mood again? What if the workload is too much? Maybe it's the pressure of expectations on us. Who's going to call next asking me for my time, for my help? Maybe it's the pressure of knowing that at any given moment something can go wrong. Isn't that terrible? I don't mean to sound pessimistic in saying that, but isn't it kind of true? Don't we drive down the road half listening for the weird sound? Oh, what was that? I don't think that's right. The light just flashed across the dashboard. What's that? What does that light mean? The pressure we feel, please, no more mechanic bills, no more breakdowns. Maybe even every time we turn something on, some appliance in the house, oh, please let it work. I don't think the dishwasher normally sounds like that. I don't think the microwave is supposed to be sparking like that. Oh, no. What's going on? What's the matter? Please, no more repairs. No more having to buy the new appliance. From the moment we get up, moving throughout the day, until sort of as it were, the day is officially done for us. I think it's true. Specific problem or not, there's a pressure we live in and under. Best realized, I think, by this. When we get home and the day's done, what do? We collapse into the couch or into the lazy boy. Wow. There's a sigh of relief. There's a weight that's lifted. Finally, a chance to rest and relax and unwind. Why? What was the problem? We can't say. We can't identify. What went wrong? I don't know if anything went wrong. But still, we feel that, don't we? We feel the day's done, and somehow, some way, there's a pressure that's lifted off of us. Life, problems and pressure. That's what it is. It's what it's filled with. I never want to oversimplify the things that we're going through or dealing with. I never want to treat flippantly the problem or the pressure that you're experiencing. But our message this morning, the answer to it all is so, so simple. And even in fact, already made available to us because, you know it, the answer is Jesus. No matter the problem, no matter the pressure, no matter the trouble, no matter the struggle, you have already all that you need. Oh, hear me this morning. I'm not making light of what you're going through. I'm not treating it flippantly or casually. I'm not just talking Christian talk. I'm telling you the truth this morning. No matter the problem, no matter the struggle, you have already all that you need because all you need is Jesus, just Jesus, only Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus. One translation puts it this way, a little bit different perspective. When I came to you, I didn't come with fancy words, great wisdom. I preached you to the truth about God's love. I made up my mind to pay attention to only one thing. And that one thing was Jesus. The message puts it this way. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is. And then, Jesus and what he did. Forgetting all else. Paying attention to only this, Jesus. Beginning with Jesus. Continuing with Jesus. Just Jesus. Only Jesus. Always and only Jesus. That was Paul's preaching to the church in Corinth. I would propose, really, that was the preaching of every apostle to every New Testament church. In 1 Corinthians 1, Jews want miracles. Greeks want wisdom. But we preach Christ and him crucified. This morning, in this place, it's just that. Jesus. Only Jesus. First, who he is. Listen, where we begin this morning, the reminder of Jesus. This Jesus that we worship. This Jesus that we believe in. This Jesus that we preach. This Jesus that you call Lord and Savior. This Jesus that has brought you into a relationship with himself so that you might have relationship with God even for all eternity. This Jesus. Be reminded today, know again today who he is. No fancy or lofty words, no great and impressive wisdom, just Jesus. We forget everything else. We pay attention to only this one thing, Jesus. The news of his birth is announced with this. He will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. That's who he is, Jesus, the Savior from sin. As well, he will be called Emmanuel. Because he'll be God with us. That's who he is. He's the Word with God from the beginning. God himself from the beginning. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact and perfect representation of the Father. He's the creator and the sustainer. He's the one through whom all things were made and the one through whom all things are held together. By the power of his Word. He's the great I am. Jesus, listen to me this morning. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He's the way and the truth and the life. One song begins by asking the question, if you're the way, if you're the truth, if you're the life, what more could I want? It then concludes, all I need to find. Just Jesus. Nothing more, no one else, just Jesus. He's the living bread and he's the living water. Eat from him and you'll never die. Drink from him and you'll never thirst again. He's the light of the world. He's the light that shines in the darkness. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one of God. In Hebrews, he's our great high priest. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us. He's the better mediator of a better covenant. And he's the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief cornerstone, the Alpha and the Omega. He's our rock. He's our fortress. Listen to me, Jesus, he's the healer. He's the provider. He's the deliverer. This is Jesus. In accordance with New Testament preaching, this is what we preach first. No fancy words. No eloquent wisdom. We preach just Jesus. Jesus the healer. Jesus the provider. Jesus the deliverer. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Isaiah, he's the man of sorrows. He's the one despised and rejected of men. He's the one acquainted with grief, the one from whom we hid our faces, and yet he's the one who carried our sorrows, pierced for our transgressions. bruised for our iniquities, the one punished so that by his wounds we might be healed. He's the Lamb, and yet he is as well the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the soon coming, conquering, and victorious, eternally, forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah, reigning King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He's the resurrection and the life. And because he is, whoever believes in him lives abundantly and eternally. Do you understand this morning? We preach Jesus because there's no one like Jesus. Don't you know that to be true? Aren't you glad to know him today? Even to be reminded of him, reminded of who it is that you know, who he is to you and for you. And don't miss that this morning. Let that sink into your heart in a very personal kind of way. He is the Prince of Peace. But listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. He is your Prince of Peace. He is the Good Shepherd. But don't miss it today, New Life. Hear this above even that. He is your Good Shepherd. He's your healer. He's not just the healer, whatever that means. He's your healer. Listen, some of you are fine with Jesus, the healer, but you don't think he's Jesus, your healer. And you need to hear me today. Oh, yes, he is. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your deliverer. He's the way and the truth and the life for you. He's the light in your darkness. He's the resurrection for you. No wonder we forget everything else. Listen, hear me today. Some of you, there's no other way to say it. You need to forget some things. I'll just, in fact, say it maybe the way it is for you. You need to forget everything that you've allowed your mind to be consumed by. Your mind, your thoughts are filled with the stuff of this world. Listen, do you understand? In light of who he is, why would we give up any mental real estate for anything other than him? Some of you know it and you recognize it even as I say it, despite all that he is. You've not forgotten everything else. There's no one like him. And yet for some of you in this room this morning, it might very well be true. You have no room for him because you filled your mind with everything that is less than him. But not today. Today we bring correction to that because today it's Jesus, only Jesus. We forget everything else. We pay attention to only one thing, Jesus, only him, because only he is worthy of our worship, of our devotion, of our preaching. What else are we going to preach? Listen, why are you going to go to a church that doesn't preach Jesus? Find something else to do. No wonder it's what we do. We preach Jesus because there's no one like him. Only Jesus, because only he's worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Do you see? We don't need the lofty and the fancy. We just need to proclaim who he is. Jesus. Only Jesus. I would strive to spend much time in the message that I would deliver to you on Sundays. But I'm telling you, if you walk out of this place having only heard fancy words and well put together sentences, what a waste of our time. Let's turn off the lights, let's lock the doors, and find somewhere else to be. Listen to me. No matter how much I strive to make it good, regardless how good it is, if you hear Jesus, if you see Jesus, it might be lacking the fancy and the lofty. It might be lacking the eloquent and the great wisdom. I sometimes watch and listen to guys on TV and I walk away thinking, oh, how simple this pulpit. How simple. I sometimes think of it. Oh, can't you come up with something more? Can't you come up with something better? Isn't there a new revelation? Isn't there something that you can do to impress people that you know more than they thought you knew? But in the end, oh, we don't need the fancy. We don't need the lofty and eloquent. What we need is Jesus. He's still the message. He's still the only message that people need to hear. Listen, this is the message that the New Testament preached. Jesus, only Jesus, Christ and Christ crucified. It was the message that turned the world upside down. And don't you know it to be true? It's the message still today that would do the same today. Forget the fancy. Ignore the impressive. We don't need it. We just need Jesus. Only Jesus and who he is and what he does. He saves. We preach Jesus, only Jesus, because only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save to the uttermost. Only he can forgive our sin, wash it all away, make us pure as snow. Only he can make us right with God. Better still, only he can make us to be friends with God. Even still, better still, only he can make us to be children of God. In Acts 7, we are first introduced to Saul. We then pick up his story in Acts 9. You can read it. Many of us perhaps know it well already. The question, the simple question, how does one overseeing the stoning of Stephen, approving of his death, holding the coat so as to make it convenient and easy for the ones killing him, Stephen, the man full of faith and full of the Spirit, Stephen, who at his death turned his eyes to heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father, some would say standing in preparation to welcome Stephen home. How does the one responsible for Stephen's death become the apostle that preaches through virtually all the Gentile world of his day, writing a huge portion of the New Testament in the process? This is how we typically tend to say it. How does a Saul become a Paul? Only Jesus. Only he can do that. Only he can save and transform like that. Do you understand? This is why we preach Jesus. Because no matter the sinner Saul that we know, come on. Some of you know some Sauls. You better be glad we preach Jesus in this place. This is what you need to preach wherever you go. Come on, let's just say it the way it is. Some of your sons and daughters are some sinner Sauls. But what can take the sinner Saul and turn him into preacher Paul? Only Jesus can do that. No wonder we preach Jesus in this place. Only he can save like that. The woman caught in adultery in John 8, you can read the story, thrown at Jesus' feet, having been caught in sin. You remember Jesus' words, let the one without sin cast the first stone. All leave. Do you get it? All leave until it's just the woman and Jesus. Only Jesus. It's interesting to consider. When all the religious stuff has gone. Listen, you need the religious stuff to go. When all the, is she good enough? Is she not good enough? You need that stuff to go. When all the balancing of the scales, her good, does it outweigh the bad? Which one is greater? When the scales are gone, when the questions are silenced. When all the religious stuff, when even the religious leaders that want to judge and condemn her are gone. We don't make light of the law, but even here, even when the law that would pronounce her guilty is gone, it's all gone. All the religious stuff gone. It's just Jesus, only Jesus. But you understand because you know the story. That's exactly what the woman needed so that forgiveness and cleansing could come. And the words of life spoken, there's no one left to condemn you. Neither then do I go and sin no more. Do you understand? It's not about the law. system of right and wrong, religion or religious people, to announce you acceptable or unacceptable. It's just Jesus. You don't need all that. All that in the end ultimately will serve only to condemn you and put you down. Jesus doesn't want you down. He wants you to be lifted up and to go and live your life free of sin. No condemnation. One song says it this way. Oh, I know. Yes, I know. Jesus. Only Jesus. Only His blood. Come on, you know it. Can make the vilest sinner clean. Today we preach Jesus because there's no one like Him. And there's no one that does. There's no one that saves like He saves. He saves and He empowers. He gives us the victory. He empowers us and He enables us to live victorious lives. I'm not saying they're necessarily of no value ever or whatsoever. But listen, hear me this morning. No self-help book or even entire seminar will do like Jesus can do for you. No motivational speaker or speech can accomplish what He can. I'm not saying they're not needed. Listen, hear that. I'm not saying they're not needed. But hear me. If you're ever going to move from defeat to victory in that area of your life, whatever that area is, if ever you're going to overcome that, if ever you're going to be victorious in that and live in victory over it, listen, it's not going to be because of a therapist or a therapy session. It's not going to be because of the psychologist or the psychiatrist. It will always and only be because of Jesus. You determine you need them, that's fine. See them. Talk to them, get help from them. But listen, in seeing them, make certain you don't forget this. It's Jesus that brings the victory. It's Jesus that empowers and enables me to live a victorious life. I think of that as it relates to our warfare against the enemy. This is the truth. Listen to me. The devil is defeated. That's the truth of Scripture. He is. But hear me this morning. It might sound odd to hear it this way, but it's true. He's a defeated enemy, but the only way you can defeat your defeated enemy is in Jesus. I think of that as it relates to how we tend to live life, thinking the devil too powerful for us. But he's already defeated. He's already defeated in and by Jesus. The Jesus that is in you. Let's say it like that. Devil, he might be too powerful for you, but he's defeated already by the Jesus in you. The real truth of Scripture, more powerful than just that. He's defeated, and his weapons have been rendered powerless over you because of Jesus in you. In Jesus, because of Jesus. Only in Jesus, only because of Jesus, we can live in victory over the devil, over every temptation, over every bondage, over every attack. Just say it the way that it is. The devil's gained a foothold in your life. If the devil seems to have your number, beat you with every temptation he throws at you, just the truth. It's because you're trying to beat him without Jesus. Some of us want to talk about the devil. How powerful he is. Oh, the devil, he's so strong and he's so big and he's so mean. Even to this, it's the devil that made me mess up. It's the devil that made me do it. I couldn't help it. The devil, he's just too big for me. He's just too strong. Even if it's you and you're thinking in this place this morning, you have to hear me. That kind of thinking is absolutely foolish and completely unscriptural. You need to stop thinking that way. The devil only has power as you walk away from Jesus. Try to face him on your own. Stay in Jesus. And he has no power. That's how you should describe the failure and the mess up, maybe. Not the devil made me do it because he's so big and powerful and mean. No, instead the way it is. I was foolish. I walked away from Jesus, filled with pride. I didn't think I needed the Lord. I thought I could go days on end without reading the word. I thought I could go days on end without prayer, without worship. Thought I could just go fight the devil and win on my own. I was foolish. I messed up. I believe this is the scriptural truth. The devil can attack you day and night, again and again, bombard you with every effort he has in his arsenal to steal and kill and destroy from you. Listen, every attack he would bring, it's already been defeated in Jesus. And because of Jesus, hear the message this morning. No fancy, no impressive words, only Jesus. But that's all you need to live in victory over the devil. Let me encourage you then in that same thought. Some of you this morning sensing you're under attack. I don't mean it to sound flippant or insensitive, what you're going through. The spiritual battle that rages in you and all around you. I just don't know how else to say it. Listen to me. You don't need to worry about the devil. Never mind him. Never mind his attack against you. Don't be consumed with the attack, what he's doing. Don't even worry about that. Instead, concern yourself only with this, Jesus. Just Jesus. Because then, in doing that, remaining in him, and because then of him, I'm telling you this morning, the truth of Scripture. On the authority of God's word, I would even prophetically declare it over you. You will be victorious. He empowers, he enables us to live in victory over the devil, sin and temptation, discouragement, doubt, despair, worry and fear, over the troubles and trials of life. In Psalm 56, I know this, God is on my side. In him I trust and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can the devil do to me? What can life do to me? What can anyone or anything do to me? Do you understand? Therein the victory. God is on my side. And so I will not be afraid, because there is no thing, there is no one that can keep me from victory, because Jesus is for me and he is on my side. And he not only saves me, but he empowers me so that I can live in victory and live a victorious life. Always the victory. Only Jesus can empower and enable me to live like that, to live in victory like that. He saves, he empowers. Listen to me this morning. He performs the miraculous. We could include it with what we've already considered. He doesn't just save, he miraculously saves. He doesn't just empower, he miraculously empowers. He miraculously heals, provides, and protects. He miraculously makes a way when all seems lost, when all seems hopeless. Red Sea in front of you, Pharaoh's army behind, close behind, intent on destroying you. He makes a way. He miraculously makes a way when every door is being shut one after the other. He miraculously opens the door that no one can shut on you. He miraculously favors you. Miraculously makes those around you to be favorably inclined towards you. Hear the good word this morning. If you're in an impossible situation, it's way less complicated than you're inclined to think. Because really, all you need is Jesus. Just Jesus. Only Jesus. Because he can do the miraculous. He can do the impossible. In Jeremiah, the Babylonians are at the city gates. The judgment of God about to be experienced by his people. Death, starvation, captivity have been promised. And now it's literally there. And yet the Lord has told Jeremiah to buy a field as a promise of future restoration. Love the merciful and gracious heart of God. Even in judgment, he's thinking restoration. Jeremiah, he can't see it. The city is surrounded. It's going to fall, the Lord has said. It's going to be burned up. The word of the Lord has declared it. The land is about to become a desert wasteland. The Babylonians are going to ravage. they are going to destroy everything. And Lord, you're asking me to buy a field? And to Jeremiah's conundrum, as it were, comes the word of the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Do you understand? Jeremiah, you see a wasteland and wonder how I could ever bring the people back. You wonder how I could ever restore the land so that the fields are bought and sold again, so that once again there are shouts of gladness and joy, happy sound, even wedding feasts. Once again, the songs sung throughout the temple, give thanks to the Lord because he's good and his love is eternal. You see the Babylonians, you see the enemy, and Jeremiah, you wonder how there could ever be those things. If you're wondering, Jeremiah, see the Lord instead. Be reminded of the Lord. Instead, be reminded of this. I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples. Is anything too hard for me? I take this very seriously, but I believe I have a word from the Lord for some of you this morning. You're in an impossible situation. Listen, you're in, the city's going to fall, it's going to be burned up. The land's about to become a desert wasteland. The enemy destroying everything. You're in that kind of situation. It's not just a problem. It's more than that. A death, starvation, captivity at your doorstep kind of thing. Listen to the word of the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples. Is anything too hard for me? I believe it. I have a word from the Lord for some of you. Because of the enemy that you see, you're already planning your demise. Listen to the word of the Lord. Go buy a field. Restoration is yet to come. I believe I have a word from the Lord for some of you this morning. All you can see is the desert wasteland of defeat and destruction. Listen, the word of the Lord, prepare yourself for a new song. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Do you understand? This is why we preach Jesus, only Jesus. Forget everything else. Pay attention this morning to just one thing, Jesus, just Jesus, only Jesus, because only he can do the miraculous. For you. In Luke 1, it was the angel's message, so simple and yet all powerful, his message to Mary. There is nothing that God cannot do. No matter what you need from him, no matter what you need him to do for you, he can do it. There's nothing he can't do. No wonder we need only him. He saves, he empowers. He performs, and watch this, he divinely supplies. Listen to me. You can have the things of this world, but it'll always be flawed because it's of the world, from the world. It'll possess at its best, always and only, a worldly quality. But Jesus divinely supplies. Only Jesus can give to you what would possess a divine and a heavenly kind of quality. Only Jesus can give you a divine joy. Kind of joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Only Jesus can give you a divine peace. The world can give you a measure of peace. Sure it can. But only Jesus can give you a peace that the world can't take away and that passes all understanding. Only Jesus can give you that. Only Jesus can give you a divine comfort. Only Jesus can give you a divine hope. Only Jesus can give you a divine wisdom. Only Jesus can give you a divine strength. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We never give up. Watch this. Our bodies are gradually dying. But watch. We ourselves are being made stronger each day Only Jesus can give you the strength that lasts, that endures. Your physical strength being reduced day by day. Your burdens ever increasing. Only Jesus makes it so that even then, you're in fact getting stronger and stronger. Only Jesus can give us life, abundant life, more and better life than we could ever dream of. Jesus, only Jesus can supply to us the divine joy and peace, comfort and hope, wisdom and strength, and life itself. What this world gives will always fall short and be far, far less than what He gives. Can I challenge you in that this morning? Of even just these qualities? If you only possess them to a worldly degree, can I say it like this? If you only possess them to the degree that they make sense, you have joy? Oh, sure, I have joy. Everything's good. You have strength? Sure, I have strength. Life is easy, no burdens to bear. You have peace? Sure, I've got peace. I've got no problems. What else am I going to have? I have peace. Of course, I do. If you only possess those things to the degree that they make sense, it's still only of a worldly quality. But Jesus, in Jesus, you can have the divine. It doesn't make sense. Listen, this world is a mess. You want to know how you set yourself apart? You go live in the peace of God out there. You'll make the world go crazier. How in the world don't you see what's going on? How are you going to come at me with all this peace and all this joy? And this is what they'll say. It doesn't make sense. And that's how you'll know you've received the divine quality that only Jesus can give to you. How do you have strength right now? Your family's apart. Your family's messed up. The doctor has just said, you just lost this. You just lost that. How are you even bearing up under it all? It doesn't make sense. That's how you'll know when it's the divine that only Jesus can give. Let me leave you with this. Track with me just for a moment. In Jude 1, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Track with me. In Mark chapter 9, to the demoniac's father, all things are possible for him who believes, for him who has faith. Track with me. Build yourself up in your faith. In Mark, all things are possible for the one who has faith. In Matthew 21, it's the story of the fig tree. If you believe, if you have faith, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Build yourself up in your faith. All things are possible for the one who has faith. You receive whatever you ask for when you ask for it in faith. So this morning, we conclude. Really, the message becomes threefold. We preach Jesus. First, who He is. Second, what He does. And we do that for this, that your faith might be built up in Him. And that, so that you would receive from Him today salvation, power to experience victory and live in victory, the miraculous and the divine. We preach Jesus so that we might believe. And in believing, so that we might receive. The old chorus goes simply like this. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Do you need salvation today? He's all you need. Who He is, what He does, He's all you need. Believe in Him and you will receive from Him what you ask of Him. Listen to me. Do you need power to experience victory and a victorious life? Do you need power today? Do you need a miracle today? Do you need the divine today? Jesus. Just Jesus. Only Jesus. He's all you need. Believe in Him and you will receive from Him what you ask of Him. Father, we do. We need salvation. We need power. We need a miracle. We're tired of the worldly quality stuff. I'm tired of a joy that only lasts till the next problem. It's not even real joy. I'm tired of the peace that only lasts until things fall apart. I'm tired of my life looking just like the world. No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, it all falls apart. It all falls apart in me. I'm tired of living that way. I'm tired of letting joy and peace and hope and comfort be determined by what the doctor says. I'm tired of it all being based on how much money's in the bank account. I'm tired of it all being determined by how easy things are for me. I'm tired of the worldly quality stuff. I want the divine. We want the divine. We need it this morning. We ask for it. And Jesus, we do. In this place, we build ourselves up in our faith. Who you are. What you do, so that you can give to us in accordance to our faith, even all that we would ask of you today. Would you help us, Lord? Would you help us to see and to know you, who you are and what you do? Lord, would you put an only Jesus spirit inside of us. Only Jesus. He's all I need. He really is. He really is. All I need. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. I pray this morning that your faith is stirred up in Jesus. Only in Jesus. And that you would understand all things are possible for you who believe. For you that have faith, whose faith is stirred up this morning, you will receive what you ask for. Believe that today. Believe that today. I pray the Lord's blessing over you this morning. Would you extend your hands to receive it today? I'm going to change it just a little bit. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, bless you and keep you. Jesus, may He turn to you and be gracious and good and kind to you. Jesus, may He turn to you and give to you His peace. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.